Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse, and this is our 31st study in the book of Genesis. We come today to Genesis 32, verse 1. Father, we ask that you add your blessing to the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 32, verse 1. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. The angels met Jacob on the way out, remember? And now they are meeting him on the way in. It sure appears as if the borders of the Holy Land are guarded by angels. Actually, you can hang on to this truth. If it belongs to God, it's guarded by angels. That principle is seen throughout Scripture. Verse 3. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. When Jacob left home, his mother said, "Stay with my brother until Esau your brother cools off. When he cools off, I will send for you." Well, you know, it's been 20 years and still no all clear from mom. But it doesn't matter, because God told Jacob that it is time for him to head home. 4. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now." Part of the birthright and blessing that Jacob took from his brother was the right to be the big boss of the family after the father died. Well, here Jacob refers to Esau as his lord, and to himself as Esau's servant. He's trying to diffuse any anger in Esau by saying, "I really don't want to be your lord, Esau. See, I want to be your servant." Verse 5. "I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." He not only doesn't want to be Esau's lord, he also isn't interested in claiming the big inheritance. Jacob says, "I have all this wealth." In other words, "I have all I need, Esau." See, he doesn't want Esau to feel threatened by his return. 6. Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." And if I was Jacob, I would think, now is a real good time to pray. Because he just extended his hand of friendship to Esau. But it sure looks like Esau refused to shake it. 7. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that were with him, and the camels and herds, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two companies. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape. No one likes fear, but thank God for it. Fear motivated Jacob to act prudently. Fear is a great emotion if we let it motivate us to use good sense. 9. Then Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you.'" Fear also motivated Jacob to pray, didn't it? He prays, "God, I'm in this situation for one reason, and that's because I'm obeying you and returning home." Verse 10, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I have crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies." Jacob knows that he is not worthy of the least of God's blessings. Verse 11, "Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, 'I will surely treat you well, and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.' Jacob says, God, I'm afraid. You know, he may not have said that to anyone else, but he said it to God. And that is the one of the nice things about God. That's one of the things that I really like about God. He is much more understanding than people are. He will not get upset, and he will not cease to like you if you are honest with him. 13. So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau his brother. He prayed that all would go well, but he also prepared a gift for his brother. See, God is a practical God. Jacob is doing all that he can do to get on the good side of his brother, in addition to praying. 14. 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. Man, milk from camels was popular back then. And I guess it's sweeter than other milk, I don't know, but 30 milk camels, that's an impressive gift. 16. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass over before me, and put some distance between successive droves. Pass on before me. Means take the animals over the river. I will follow you in a little while. 17. And he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau my brother meets you and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong, and where are you going? Whose are these in front of you? Esau will ask you, whose are these before you? You know, the word of God is accurate down to the smallest detail. When shepherds led sheep into pastures, the sheep would follow. However, when, like here, they traveled from place to place, then the sheep went before those who drove them. So, this is a very accurate picture. And what else would you expect from the word of God? 18. Then you shall say, they are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. And behold, he also is behind us. Jacob was afraid, but he's through running. Jacob says to his servants, tell my brother, I'm coming. 19. So he commanded the second, the third, and all who followed the drove, saying, in this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. Instead of giving his brother one gigantic gift, he breaks it down into five large gifts. He hopes that that will do a better job softening his brother's heart. 20. And also say, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. The word appease means to cover. Jacob says, behold, say this to my brother. Behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. And afterwards, I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. Appease means to cover or atone for a sin. Jacob is hoping that his gifts will cover over his past sins against his brother. That is what Jesus did for us on the cross. God the Son gave God the Father the gift of his sacrificial death to atone for the sins of those of us who will receive him as Lord and Savior. The blood of Jesus has appeased the righteous anger of Almighty God on behalf of Christians. 21. So the present went on over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp. Now, watch this. Verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. He took them, set them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. So Jacob took his family and all that he owned across the river. There was no turning back now. If his brother attacks, there's no way that Jacob will get everything back across that river. When Jacob made his commitment to God, he burned the bridges to his past. When a person makes a commitment to Christ, they ought to burn the bridges to any ungodly past they may have had. In the last part of verse 24, it says, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, some things seem to happen at the most inopportune time. Jacob probably would like to spend the evening in prayer, you know, or maybe he would like to come up with a last-minute strategy for meeting his brother, or maybe get a little sleep anyway. But instead, some man comes into his camp and starts to wrestle him. What in the world is going on here? 25. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. It had been a long, hard day for Jacob, and tomorrow promises to be even harder meeting his brother. The last thing Jacob wanted was a painful, disjointed hip, but that's what he got. 26. And he said, let me go. The stranger said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Somewhere in this wrestling match, Jacob realized that this man was either an angel or God himself in a man's body. So Jacob is not wrestling anymore. He is clinging, and he won't let go until God blesses him. 27. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and have prevailed. The name Jacob means deceiver. The name Israel means prince of God. The name change is symbolic of what God has done in Jacob's life. God has blessed Jacob. It has been a long, hard road, but God has transformed Jacob from a deceiver into a man who put the will of God first in his life. Now, I don't know what kind of blessing Jacob was looking for, but that's the blessing he received. Look at 28 again. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Jacob prevailed. Not over God, over his struggle against God. Ever since Jacob was little, he had been a spiritually lukewarm deceiver, but not anymore. God had to put him through some hard times, but it brought him to the place where obedience to God is top priority in his life. That is the blessing. 29. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. The stranger had asked for Jacob's name, so now Jacob asked for the stranger's name. Last part of verse 29, he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. God rebuked him for being curious and denied his request. Jacob didn't need to ask that question. Getting the blessing he wanted was good enough. You know, God has drawn a line in the sand that we should not cross. And that line would be getting too familiar with God. 30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob knew that he had seen God in a man's body. And he knew that God could have crushed him in a second. But instead, he even lived to talk about it. 31. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. The last time Jacob saw God was when he left the Promised Land. At that time he made a memorial out of a rock. Here Jacob sees God again, only this time God gave him a limp for a memorial. Every step Jacob took for the rest of his life reminded him that he had seen God. 32. Therefore to this day the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank, the tendon that keeps the thigh bone in the hip socket, and the meat around it became off limits to the Jews. Actually, later on, they made a law that anyone who got caught eating the meat from that area would be beaten with 40 lashes. Well, we'll pick up our study in chapter 33 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.